It's Sound Ideas. I'm Mike McCurdy. Kansas City is poised to become the smartest of smart cities in the next 5 years, according to the city employee leading that effort. Bob Bennett is the chief innovation officer for Kansas City, Missouri. Under his direction, Kansas City, Missouri has a suite of initiatives, including deep data analysis, public Wi-Fi, digital kiosks, and smart street lighting. Bennett addresses the annual McLean County Regional Planning Commission's Community Information Forum tomorrow. There are a number of ways to define smart city. Bennett has his definition for Kansas City.
For us in Kansas City, we define smart as a city which uses technological tools, be they sensors or be they analytical platforms, to do those things which cities have historically done more efficiently, better, or with a greater impact on our citizens. And that ranges from everything from maintaining our streets, maintaining our water systems, to focusing our police assets.
You've said it's not about gadgets, it's about data. What do you mean by that?
What I mean is that people problems are the things that cities have had to work toward solving for generations. We will always provide a safe place for people to do business. We will always provide a safe place for people to live. In America today, we anticipate that when you walk into any hotel room, you're going to have electricity and you're going to have flush toilets and water that you can drink from the tap without having to sterilize it by boiling or applying iodine or other solutions. In a similar way, we are now moving toward a point where all of these systems are going to be improved with technology. And so that's kind of the route that we are taking. And it's the same spectrum of things that we need to focus on. In some cases, we can use data to understand how a road is behaving, and that's going to change the way we do street maintenance, allowing us to predict potholes. And instead of waiting for your car to break, we're actually going out and doing maintenance. In some cases, we are out measuring the flow of water in our storm sewers and wastewater sewers and diverting that liquid underground so I don't have to build a new pumping plant, saving our city $980 million. And in other cases, it's just knowing where crimes are likely to occur and changing the behavior of your community to meet that need.
Let's just start with the last one. How can you predict where crime may happen?
It's actually a multivariable calculation when you look at crime. It is no longer just the policeman's problem to look at crime. In any community which drags their police chief before the city council to get yelled at when crime increases, isn't looking at the totality of causes that we could otherwise influence to prevent crime. Most crimes occur in the summertime on the hottest days. If we're able to build a park with a pool and open that pool earlier because of where the temperatures are, that may allow us to divert someone who would otherwise be bored to that pool instead of committing a crime. If we look at some of the jobs programs we have and where we recruit kids from during the summertime, we can understand where kids get arrested from and instead put a jobs program there, taking those kids off the streets and giving them something different to do. If we look at some of the other causes of crime, we can change city policy or change city activities to mitigate that cause before the crime occurs.
So in some respects, it sounds like a smart city is simply using the data to be ultra responsive.
Or even proactive. And that's where I really want to be, is instead of responding faster, which is I think what cool cities do, a smart city anticipates the problem before it occurs and fixes it when it's a maintenance issue and not a crisis response.
So how and why did Kansas City embark on this path?
The how was a matter somewhat of convenience. We were very fortunate in the year 2013 to start construction on a $100 million streetcar project, which was an amazing opportunity for our city, but it was also an amazing headache for our residents and our store owners down on Main Street when we tore up a main thoroughfare and kept it torn up for the better part of 18 months. And so what we did was we partnered with Cisco and with Sprint, gave them the opportunity to take advantage of that big hole in the ground and to put in additional fiber, to put in additional conduit, and to upgrade all of our streetlights with LED streetlights and sensors. and to actually build out this network so that we did it right in a 21st century manner the first time. And that way, when the streetcar was completed in May of 2016, we also had a full smart city apparatus that from a city perspective only cost us about $3.4 million out of a $20 million project.
So is becoming a public, is becoming a smart city, is that a public service, or is it about being competitive with other cities, or is that even a meaningful distinction anymore?
I think it is a public service in that 21st century citizens expect 21st century connectivity. Anybody that you see right now who is under the age of 25 has a cell phone and expects that that cell phone will connect them to transportation options, connect them to jobs, connect them to shopping, connect them to their friends, connect them to their family. We expect that those same citizens, as they take an increasing role in governing our communities, are going to want to be able to pay their water bill on that same platform, are going to want to be able to provide a 311 comment to our city on that same platform. They're going to want to be able to have that same interaction with that same platform. And so we're going to have to evolve with it.
So what kind of budget are we talking about? What percentage of KCMO's overall budget goes to this kind of innovation and smart city projects?
Right now, our phase one project cost about $23 million of that. The city put forth $3 million. Mm. Almost half of that was in kind. The other half was obligated funds. So the rest of the funding came from private sector partners, and it became a public-private partnership, wherein Sprint and Cisco were able to build a business case from which they're able to generate profit. And we as a city were able to build out a system which allows us to provide this public service.
This is Sound Ideas. Bob Bennett is the Chief Innovation Officer for Kansas City, Missouri, and he's addressing the McLean County Regional Planning Commission's annual Community Information Forum. What's the return on investment, and what sort of metrics are you monitoring to see if Kansas City's investment is paying off?
On the dollar side ROI, the city has generated about $140,000 worth of profit from the advertising that airs on our kiosks. About 50% of that content is advertising. And so we're able to use that to fund all of our smart city maintenance. So all of the sensors and network maintenance, network upgrades, those things the city has to do that are not part of the warrantied bits and pieces. In terms of other metrics that we use, over 8 million people have engaged with our public Wi-Fi, which spans 54 blocks. And we only have 482,000 Kansas Cityans. So essentially, we've had, 16x usage of that Wi-Fi network from either multiple use of about 2.9 million individual users, or the use by visitors when they come in for different conventions and other activities and take advantage of that free Wi-Fi service. In terms of how many people have used our kiosks, that number right now is about 700,000. Individual usages, we think about 280,000 individual users. In terms of the amount of data and the amount of times that our data have been accessed on our open portal, that number is running at about 1.4 million.
Is millennial population growth something you're looking at, either retaining that demographic in Kansas City or attracting younger people to live in Kansas City, live and work, call Kansas City home?
I wouldn't say millennial as a specific focus. I'll tell you that our population in our downtown has grown fivefold since the year 2000. Certainly millennials make up a large percentage of that, but baby boomers are also returning to downtown after raising their kids, launching them, and then either coming into quasi-retirement or retirement years. Closer to a downtown, which has an art scene and a streetcar and really cool restaurants and places to recreate and take advantage of what a community has to offer.
So you've talked about this Wi-Fi system that you've put into downtown. What about addressing the digital divide or providing access to high-speed internet to everyone, regardless of income or where they live? Is that something Kansas City is trying to address?
Absolutely. We are currently looking at expanding our smart city footprint from the smartest 54 blocks in America right along the heart of Main Street to the remainder of the city. And the first section of the city where we are expanding these same capabilities in terms of Wi-Fi and sensors and a focused analysis are east of Troost Avenue, which is the proverbial tracks here in Kansas City. Right now, we are working with Sprint and their 1 million program to put Wi-Fi repeaters in multiple locations throughout the eastern one-third of our city. We are incredibly fortunate as a community to have partnerships with Google Fiber, with AT&T, with Spectrum, and with other fiber providers to the point that our metro area has about 5.5 million strand miles of fiber, and 97% of our residents have a cable with fiber access available to them, either in their housing area or at the driveway of their home.
That's Bob Bennett. He's the Chief Information Officer for Kansas City, Missouri, and he's the speaker at the McLean County Regional Planning Commission's annual Community Information Forum. Bob, we talked about data and the data that drives gadgets, sensors, equipment. Let's talk about smart streetlights. You talked about those a moment ago. What is a smart streetlight?
So in Kansas City today, we have 178 smart streetlights. These lights have in their core of the streetlight pole itself a small processor. It is essentially a computer that is as powerful as your cell phone computer. Located in the top of the light itself is a sensor, which counts the number of people underneath it. Essentially, it is like a small person up there with a chalkboard just doing tick marks to count the number of folks underneath it. When that number is between 0 and 4 people, and it is during hours of darkness, the light is illuminated at about 65% of the wattage that is available to the pole. Since it's an LED light, the actual lumens available underneath it are about equal to what you have in a normal 4-sodium light. But certainly, being both an LED light and working at 65% efficacy, the drag on the electricity grid is much smaller for that individual light. When the light perceives that there are more than 5 people under it, it increases the wattage up to about 85% or 90%. And it's not unless the police need to really see at the same quality as daylight that they manually increase the wattage to 100%. So we're able to save energy with that smart street light. We're able to meet the needs of a changing population underneath it by virtue of it counting it itself. The other thing that that small computer inside the light pole does is it counts the traffic that drives by, both that which goes straight through the intersection and that which makes a left turn, which allows us to better manage the timing of our street lights and decrease the congestion in the heart of Main Street. We've gotten to the point now where traffic through that 2.2 miles of Kansas City has decreased in average time by 36 seconds. Which is probably not significant for my daughter, who's generally 5 to 8 minutes late when she's going to youth group on a Wednesday. But from a greenhouse gas emissions perspective, sure. When you talk about 15,000 cars that drive through there every day, that is a lot less car emissions that are polluting my airspace.
But the light, the street light never completely goes out. It's always providing some light at night.
That's correct. Yeah. And in fact, the light that it's providing is a greater intensity than what we had less than a year and a half ago or 2 years ago when we started the Smart City project.
The one thing we haven't talked about yet, and we've talked about them here a little bit, is Kansas City's kiosks. What do they do? How did you determine where they would be located?
So the kiosk program actually came out of New York City. The two guys who invented it actually did it as a result of 9/11 and trying to find a way to tell people where to seek shelter and when and why. Because at the time, the sort of first wave of the ubiquitous cell phone to the point of people blowing it off while it's ringing in their pocket was occurring. So the idea was to put up a 7-foot-tall iPhone in the middle of the public right-of-way that in our case, if a tornado or severe weather comes, I can direct people off of the streets and into a building for shelter at a hyper-local level. Given the fact that we're a 317-square-mile city, I may have a tornadic activity in the Northland, but not south of the river. And I could obviously just focus those efforts appropriately. We brought Smart City Media on board. They were from the city of New York. What they determined was that we could by the city owning those devices use half of the time that that screen was active with city information. Things like get out the vote campaigns, where to go to register your pets, where to go to lodge a city 311 complaint, performance data with different city departments, art festival information, other things that citizens need to know as a public information channel. And then we use the other 50% of the time available on that screen for advertising. And what we've just done is added beacons to the inside of those kiosks. So the advertising that will pop up on that screen when you walk by it will be advertising that appeals to you. Again, you've got your Wings application on your telephone. It will tell you the top 10 places for Wings in Kansas City. And if you push the screen at that point, because it's an interactive experience, it can give you an opportunity to maybe get a deal at one of them. Get a free iced tea with your order of Wings today. Give us your phone number. We'll send you a text message. And then we'll put on your phone wayfinding to get you to that location. So these are the types of things the kiosks do for us. Today, there are 28 of them in the city. We are currently installing several more at our airport along a bus rapid transit line and on the campus of the University of Missouri, Kansas City, which here within 18 months will get us to 108 machines. And to this point, we've generated $140,000 or so worth of profit for the city that allows us to continue its expansion.
So what is some low-hanging fruit that any city the size of Bloomington Normal, perhaps, could or should reach for to move toward being a smarter city?
I think the first thing you can do is you can be a better business partner, either for inbound businesses from an economic development perspective or with your existing businesses to help them figure out where the best location is for a new coffee shop. You can do that by doing a quality assessment of your permitting data, understanding where people are putting in homes or where people are improving their homes tells you at the nearest commercially zoned area where there's an opportunity to put in a successful coffee shop or a restaurant or that sort of thing. I think when you look at the education data and you see where children are doing well and you see where children are doing less well, that may be a signal to you to put in some of your digital equity strategic plan elements. If that's computer training, if that's collaborating with a local fiber provider to give physical access to the internet, or if there's just an opportunity there based on which scores are not doing so well to put in extra tutors or to find public-private partnership programs where companies who need people with a specific skill can train up a population that's eager and ready to embrace that new idea. And oh, by the way, huge opportunity base right in this neighborhood. And that's just two real quick examples.
And where is Kansas City headed?
Kansas City is going to be the smartest city on planet Earth within 5 years. And I think that that's going to happen as a result, number one, of the work that we've done for our first phase. Number two, the fact that we do have a data-centric culture inside City Hall, and there is a willingness of our city government to embrace not only our own data sets, there's about 4,200 of those, but also censored data and algorithms, which get us to the predictivity point. And the third thing is we're willing to embrace private sector data as well. When you look at some of the credit card companies, there is publicly available data, and it's anonymized at about the zip code level, which tells you how much is billed to a certain zip code and where that money is actually spent in terms of the zip codes where it is spent. You can actually track the flow of your economy using that information. And by combining all three of those together, you truly get to a point of smartification. And that's where we're heading.
Okay, Bob, thanks for your time on Sound Ideas. We appreciate it.
Hey, I look forward to seeing you guys here at breakfast on the 11th. This is going to be a lot of fun.
Bob Bennett became the chief innovation officer for the city of Kansas City, Missouri in January of 2016 after a 25-year career in the U.S. Army. And he joined us during Sound Ideas via the internet. He's the keynote speaker at the McLean County Regional Planning Commission's Community Information Forum tomorrow morning. Bennett says he's hearing from citizens that they want as many city services digitized as possible. He also says Kansas City has a robust privacy policy to encourage online use of all of Kansas City's technological services. You're listening to Sound Ideas.